confidence in the execution of the new GTLD program, which clearly is important and relevant as he is leading the staff and their execution of that, and just to seek his assurance or understanding of where he has where he feels that is. We've also talked, and in fact it came up via Yoav and some others, some concerns about some details in the program, and in particular the issue of IDN variants and how that's being handled. And I guess one of the things on many people's minds related to all of that is the timeline and the rollout and specifically where we think we are in terms of overall timing. So I don't know if anyone has anything to add to that, or if I should, Zahid.
Just the question I'd asked Fadi at the board session, the one about singulars and plurals and them not being in contention, what are we going to do about it?
Thanks, Zahid.
Yeah, we have absolutely no say in what the panels decide. And the rules that were set for the panels happened a long time ago. The rules are there, and they're functioning based on these rules. If we need to look back at these rules, then we will. But right now, frankly, with the things on our plate, we probably won't. But I appreciate that. To be frank, I was as surprised as you. but there's a process. There are panels. They went through it. We asked them. Are you sure you went through it? So, yes, we did, and we had other. So, I'm not going to circumvent that process. Yeah.
Thanks, Fadi. So, Zahid, what I'd appreciate is, bearing in mind this is a new session, remote participants and people in the room may not have been present. So, if you could just very briefly frame that issue, even though Fadi's given that answer, and it sounded like you had an additional point to make anyway, but just step back a moment, reframe, you know, the question, because it was essentially raised in the previous session.
So just as quick, we understand that, and if there is any progress, and if it gets onto the agenda item of the board, we would like to know about it, or you know, if there's anything that we can do to help, definitely the BC at least, and I'm sure the CSG would be interested. Just to explain the issue, I mean, that would mean that we would need to have, as businesses, defensive registration and 25 other TLDs for each one of them. You know, autos. It's not just a brand issue. It's a consumer confusion issue, and it's not just at the second level, obviously, because of that. It's definitely at the first level. It will have issues of reliability, consumer protection, a whole bunch of security issues related to that as well. So I think it's serious enough for it to be looked at. I we're not saying you should go back and circumvent. That's not the issue, but it is a real issue. And sometimes when you have to solve a problem that can break a system, whether it's circumvention or something else, it has to be done.
Thanks, Zahid. Right, so I've got Ching who wanted to pick up on the
Sorry,
other.
Jonathan, I just wanted to point out that the point of discussion Zahid has raised, which you may feel strongly about, actually we haven't discussed talking about that, you know, with Fadi, so it may be something that we need to reflect on.
Yeah, it's a fair point of order and point taken, Joy. We looked at a set of different topics, and really the ones on our list were the ongoing confidence in the execution of the GTLD program, the issue of IDN variants, and specificity and in and around the timing of the rollout of the rollout timeline. So, Ching, did you want to pick up on one of those topics?
Actually, Jonathan, thanks for that. Ching Chiao from Registry Constituency. I'm not sure it's the right time to offer some background info here, or should we just, when we talked about the IDN variants, and then I can offer some of the background info when we talked about that.
Ching, in my sense is it's background to one of the key topics we want to talk about, so by all means, if you have something to add that gives it color and substance, by all means, go.
Okay. I would do a rather brief one. I mean, since most of the people here are actually known to this issue, I just for the benefit of your, or for our discussion later. So actually, in the working session yesterday, the council has schedule a one-hour session on the VIP, the updates on from the VIP team, and also a brief one on the IRD, the internationalization registration data. So these two, but we focus on particular the timeline for the delegation of the IDN variant. I mean, the readiness of that and the timeline for that. We understood that the staff provide some rough timeline in the sense of sometimes next year the variant for the apply for IDN will be delegated or will be handled in a consented way, but from the community discussion that we had or the GNSO working session yesterday is that there seems to have some needs to kind of to have a kind of expeditious way of handling what we have been called a variant here in GNSO, but what has been called in the CCNSO, you've probably seen in other terms what they call a synchronized delegation for the ID and TOD. So I would like to stop here and just to offer that. And later, yes, of course, the session has been brought into a further discussion on how the TMCH can have the ability to handle variant submission if the trademark does deal with, for example, in Chinese simplified ones and the traditional one. So let me stop here. Thank you.
Thanks, Ching.
No. Sorry.
Yoav, did you want to add
to
that?
If before Fadi answers, maybe just to give another point on the idea of variants. Just to clarify on the TMCH, the problem. There are currently, first of all, there are some languages that don't have the tables, the variant tables ready. So the working group was dealing with these tables for the top level. But practically, we also need it for the second level. And the next issue, and it's not only relevant for the TMCH, it's also relevant generally for the registries. What do you do with the variants of names? And I'm sure you know that you understand this issue of variants in Arabic, just like in Hebrew. You know, you have the letter in the end of the word. It has a different, it looks different than if it's in the middle of the word or in the beginning. And that's a type of variant. What do you do with that? Do you register the domain? Do you couple? Do you bundle? This was not decided. Currently, registries, as we've heard from Newstar, that they did a very good thing. They decided to bundle it, but they just decided on their own. So it brings us to the point where, in the TMCH, first, if you don't have a policy about that, and that policy is not yesterday we talked about this, doesn't have to be a PDP, okay? Just a policy. How do you deal with this? A rule to how to deal with this? The problem that will happen is that if someone files their trademark, an IDN trademark in one of the languages, it has to be in the exact match, but it will have variants. So first of all, based on the rules, they will not really be able to file the other trademarks. And what can happen is that those domain names will not be saved for them. They cannot apply for them in the sunrise. They will not have the claims, everything. And then, you know, there's a whole mess. So there has to be something decided about this before we start implementing. And I would my personal suggestion is we decide on bundling. We make sure we have the tables in there as quick as possible. We don't have a Hebrew table. As I said, I'm gonna volunteer and get a group do this very quickly to make sure it's there. But I'm sure there's some other languages that have the same problem.
Thanks, so, Yav. Can I just stop you there? I mean, we've got half an hour with Fadi, so I think it's a very constrained set of time. We've got some key issues, which is to understand his sort of ongoing confidence in the execution of the GTLD program. This issue of the variance is clearly one critical and substantial issue to some of us and really it probably should be to all of us in terms of one element of that execution. There are other questions we had, like hearing a little more on the specifics of the rollout timetable. And so perhaps I should give you an opportunity, Fadi, to talk with us a little on those, if you would like to, and if there are any other points of substance in and around the issues that we've talked about as a council. Mason, you want to go in the queue?
No, you can. Yeah, after Fadi.
All right, so... Fadi, let's give you the opportunity to respond a little, and then we'll see if there's other... I know Mason's in the queue.
Okay, thank you, Jonathan. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm not an expert on IDNs, and I will not venture in implementing the process right now. I will tell you that the Trademark Clearinghouse, from the beginning, was built to be a global service that understands and... appreciates that there will be many trademarks submitted in multiple scripts. The current Trademark Clearinghouse accepts these in multiple scripts. I just want to be clear. It is set up to do so. It even has regional experts that understand local trademarks, so they participate in the decision making. They also follow the IDN guidelines to the letter. That's exactly what they've been told to do. Now, to the extent many of you have specific concerns in how it's being implemented, I would love to hear them. And in order to make this effective, I'm asking staff right now publicly to set up a call with whoever wishes to join to actually make sure we hear all your concerns about how these are being implemented, and staff will share that their views with you, and out of that, we will direct the implementer. That's my commitment. The second thing I think you want me to talk about is a little bit the timeline of the whole GTLD program. Let me just be very clear. There is no dead set milestone for the GTLD program. What there is tremendous momentum to get this GTLD program birthed. That's what there is. But I don't want anyone to be under the illusion that somebody forced a date on me or I forced a date on you or on myself. There's no date. There's work that's being done. I've built massive programs before. This is a massive program. We're going about it fast, but with very deliberative steps. We're using agile methodology, which means it's not waterfall methodology. We're not waiting for every step to be done to do the next one. So when people come up and say, Ibero's not done, how could you start? Well, Ibero is when things fail. We don't have a single GTLD out yet. We have planned to do Ibero in time when the GTLDs are out. In fact, many of the current GTLDs are functioning without Ibero even. So that's a whole new program that we put to put belts and suspenders on the new GTLDs. And it will be done in time. And then when we announce we have selected three fantastic providers, they say, oh yeah, they're reacting, as if we selected them the night before. We've been at this for months, and there's a lot of work done to get there. So the cynicism that exists about how we're going about this really needs to be thought through a little bit. There's a lot of work going on. You brought me on board to get this program done, to implement it. And that's what we're doing. We're getting it done. Now, I heard for the last 2 hours a lot of comments about the board trampling and circumventing this body. I must tell you, first of all, on the sacredness of what you were talking about, I'm in violent agreement. I mean, how can I argue that? I'm here because of this. That's the only reason I can matters. It's because we have this multi-stakeholder bottom-up process. Okay? I'm with you 100% on that. I think, and frankly, I would love the people who were involved with me in the Trademark Clearinghouse meetings in Brussels and in LA and on the phone to raise their hands, because it wasn't two people. It was tens of you involved in these calls and meetings, right? How many of you told me I was circumventing anything during these meetings? No one told me I was circumventing policy. That's not true, Wendy. I have. Robin was there the whole time, and then she left at 5 p.m. because she had a flight. I understand that. But remember, guys, you're the ones who came to me in Toronto and said, we have a broken issue, let's fix it. Now, I admitted in Amsterdam, I may not have known the rules of the game. And when Maria came up to me with the process, I said, I didn't know the rules of the game. I didn't know. And she said, there are ground rules in ICANN. And I said, great. So now I'm setting ground rules. In fact, we are now setting ground rules that say I cannot call a meeting unless, you know, I've come to you, for example, or I've checked with you, or I worked with you. So I'm trying to work with you to find out what is the best way to go about this. And if you have these ways, please document them to me. When you told me during the meetings, policy and implementation is not clear, I asked staff to write a paper. They wrote a paper. You got it. I haven't received yet feedback on this paper. I'd like to get feedback directly to me saying, this paper is off, and I understand you're meeting this week. So that's the process. I wasn't aware I'm breaking any process. So if I did, as I did in Amsterdam, I said my apologies, guide me, I'm here to make things work, and I'll advance them. That's what I'm here to do. How could I be the head of ICANN circumventing the multi-stakeholder process? What have I done for the last 3 months but run around the world, tell them this is the best thing on the planet? So how could I be doing it? I mean, these things don't add up. What is the pattern of me breaking the process, or ICANN breaking the process? Help me with it, guide me with it, tell me what I need to do better. And I've been here all along, and I'm saying, I'm listening. I receive 3,400 emails per month on average. I now hired a full-time person, she's here in the room, whose sole job, a master's degree graduate, to just read my emails and keep up with it and tell me what to do. It's good, I'm happy, but that also means, you know, I need to do better listening, and I'm here. You know, today when I was listening to you, I said, if you all meet regularly, I'm happy to come. Invite me and give me the grilling and tell me what I didn't do right, and I'll do it better. I'm happy to take the input anytime, directly from you, not through reading blogs. Call me and tell me what I can do better, and I'll respond. And there is no deadline on the GTLD program. I repeat that again. We're just going about it deliberatively and very, very intensely. We're going to get the program out. That's our job. That's what you hired us to do. To implement the policies and the guidebook, and that's what we're doing.
Well, I've got a queue of three people, but I'm going to stick my neck out and say one thing, and that is, notwithstanding the specifics and the very controversial specifics that came out for all of us on the Trademark Clearinghouse straw man, I do know that we came to you in Toronto and said, we have concerns about the implementation of the Trademark Clearinghouse. And I do know that you entered that process in good faith and with a genuine attempt to solve the implementation of the Trademark Clearinghouse. I know that thereafter, and we all know the history, it went off the rails for a variety of reasons. But I will certainly stand by you and say that I know you entered that process with a genuine good faith attempt to resolve the implementation issues of the Trademark Clearinghouse. So I'll stop it at that. But I know there's a queue. I've got Mason, Jeff, and Wendy.
Thank you, Jonathan. Mason Cole, Registrar Stakeholder Group. Fadi, we had a discussion yesterday here at the council about your request for our advice on the straw man and the Trademark Clearinghouse, and we delivered that in a letter in February outlining where the majority of the council, it wasn't unanimous, but the majority of the council felt certain things were policy, certain things were implementation. I think we're looking for a bit more visibility on how you or staff arrived at the decision you did about what is policy and implementation. If you could help with that, I think we'd appreciate that.
The thinking was laid out in the massive paper that Karen published as to how we arrived at these decisions. It wasn't flippant. We spent a good number of weeks analyzing your input. We wrote, I don't know if Karen is here, but this paper is at least 20 pages of dense material on how we got to these decisions. And so it's all in there, and we can spend 20 minutes going item by item, but I don't think we have that time. The continuum, as you're now calling it, policy and implementation, the continuum between policy and implementation is still ill-defined. I agree with that. So we will, you know, some people will have an opinion, others will have a different opinion. I think the fact, as a community, we are getting into that debate is fantastic. It's good. It will help us so that when we make a determination and the community and the outside world sees how we came to that, there has to be some standard, and that standard is frankly absent at the moment. So we used some standard. You may have used a different standard. I think we need to unify these standards and avoid this situation in the future. I'm hoping we do.
Jeff, I've got to you next.
Yeah, I think I'm going to, since I was going to bring up something new, and it sounds like Wendy and maybe John want to address this, I'll yield to them and if there's time.
Thanks, Jeff. Let's go to you, then Wendy, and then John, and then we'll come back to you, Jeff.
Thanks, Wendy Seltzer from the Non-Commercial Stakeholders Group. I heard lots of questions in your response about why wasn't anyone in the room at the LA meeting saying this was a problem. We in Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group absolutely were saying this meeting was a problem. Scheduling these kinds of discussions as a those who can come to the face-to-face meeting poses a problem for a stakeholder group that can't necessarily get lots of participants to that meeting. Various of us were on planes or previously engaged, and Robin and Kathy participated valiantly in pieces of the discussion, but that can't substitute for going out to through the stakeholder group to our constituents and deliberating and bringing back the considered position of the constituency and stakeholder group, and that's why these sort of assembled meetings can't substitute for policy development process through the GNSO Council. This is the place where we develop the consensus policy and where we reflect on whether an implementation meets those policy guidance we gave, and when we say it doesn't, we really do expect to hear why that advice was disregarded and to be able to engage in further dialogue around those differences.
Thanks, Wendy. Did you want to respond, Fellow Delegate?
No, simply to agree with Wendy that the part where I said already, and I say it again, I made a mistake, is that I should have come back to you when we decided on a different standard, as I was telling Mason, than what you said. And that's a process mistake. In other words, we should engage more often. I should have come back and said, look, we looked at this, as opposed to just issuing a report, even if it's 20 pages. It's something that we should have engaged back with you. That I accept, and next time we're in a position like this, especially when we are in disagreement, I'll come back to you, and we'll have a discussion and a dialogue and a debate and reach the right conclusions. So, and this was, by the way, the meeting started as an implementation meeting. It wasn't about policy. I mean, those of you who were with me in Toronto in the room, we discussed, these are implementation issues. Okay, then we'll limit the meeting to implementation issues. But as we got into it, some people started inserting things that were not implementation. And that's why we made decisions that some things are policy. We're not going to touch them. It's just that maybe we have a different final decision on what is policy, what is implementation. I'm inviting the dialogue. Let's have a dialogue. What is policy? What is implementation? So we are working off of a common standard.
Thanks, Fadi. We've got John and Thomas in the queue. I'll make one remark. I think for us, as a council, it's and Jeff as well. Sorry, Jeff, I've got you. I have got you on the list. But I think for us, the key thing is we determined as a council that something was policy. And our view is at the very least, if we do get into that situation, absent a bright line test in the future, we would like to have that further dialogue with you before it goes. Yeah. So thank you for that, Fadi. Let's go to, I've got John, Jeff, and Thomas.
So, Fadi, John Berard with the business constituency. I worry that what I'm about to say will sound flip, and I don't mean it to. But one of the things I learned when I embarked on my business career a long time ago was that it's better to ask forgiveness than seek permission. One of the things that I have learned in my involvement with ICANN is that it is imperative to get permission than to seek forgiveness. Just so that I'll leave it at that.
This is helpful advice, and I accept it. But I ask you again, has there been a pattern where this happened, or is all this furore over the TMCH? When patterns happen, then you've taught me a lesson. I took it. If I do it again, then we should have a real chat. But I've already admitted 2 months ago in Amsterdam that there was a mea culpa, we made a mistake. I'm moving on. Are we able to move on? That's the question.
Fadi, the time is very, very tight.
The one thing that I would caution you against is that we use words like you and we and that suggests a unanimity. It suggests a monolithic approach, and I can tell you that there is anything but unanimity in a monolithic approach. So you could ask each of us individually, and we would give you our answer.
Thanks, Fadi. I'm very conscious of your time and your schedule, so I've got Jeff, Thomas, and Zahid, and we'll draw a line under it.
So, hi, Fadi. How are you, Jeff Newman? It seems like lately that ICANN staff has put itself in a position of being the ultimate arbiter of how things should come out without a need to come back to the community. And so one thing I'm going to mention, and you and I have talked about this, and the registries have talked about this, right, is the notion of the amendment process, which I know is being worked on. But it's interesting to read the... And I'm not sure many people have actually seen it, but there is a report on the public comments that came into the agreement. There was no fanfare that was made about it, but it's out there. And so it's interesting because everyone in the community came together on that, what was the unilateral right to amend. And I know we're working on it now, but what was the unilateral right to amend? Everyone. It was a negative comment completely across the board. But then when staff reviewed it and actually put out its interpretation of what happened, they said, yeah, everybody said no, but we disagree with the community, and here's why. And that got me thinking, is staff really the appropriate arbiter for the community to substitute its feelings for the community? And I think the answer in this multi-stakeholder process should be no. But I'm worried that that's what's happening all across the board. If the community actually does come together, and on this unilateral right to amend, the community came together as to say, not a good idea. But staff, in writing the report, and I'm grateful that it's come back and we're talking about it, but there are some things that don't come back. It goes straight to the board. And it got me thinking of staff should not be the ultimate arbiter of what's in the best interest of the community and not. And I just wanted to point that out. That was my kind of one thing to point out. And on the positive note of the new GTLD program, I thought it was important. An important thing happened this morning. We had a briefing from the Security and Stability Advisory Committee chair, and we asked him point blank. We talked about the certificate authority issue, the SAC 57, and Patrick Falstrom made it very clear that as the SAC chair, it was not the intention of the Security and Stability Committee to advise the board to delay the program at all because of this cert issue. And I thought that was a very positive thing. I don't know if he's told you that directly, but if he hasn't, that's been reported, and I thought that's a very positive development and something that we should share with you as to move the program along. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. I've got Thomas and Zahid, and please be very brief. Brian, we've got a next on the schedule, and I suspect Fadi's got to go off, so it's Thomas, Zahid.
Yeah, I'm Thomas Ricker, NOMCOM appointee. Fadi, I wanted to pick up on one point that you made. You said that you would come back and gladly be grilled if you did something wrong, and this is not about grilling, right? I would just like to make the point that I spoke to an awful lot of staff members, community members, and I think there isn't a single one who is not impressed with what you're doing. We have been asking ICANN for results and for predictability in progress, and this is what we see happening now. So I think that, you know, at least in personal capacity, I can't speak on behalf of the whole council, certainly, but I'd like to make the point that there is a lot of appreciation for what you're doing. I remember... I remember you saying, I think it was during the press conference when you were presented to the general public, you said you are a defender of the multi-stakeholder approach, and you added, and this is important, and it's speed. And that certainly doesn't mean that you would allow us to take any speed we might choose to take, but I think that the points that we're making are just to bring across the message that we are trying to get better in our joint effort to make this program work and the multi-stakeholder process.
Thanks, Thomas. And speaking of speed, Zahid, speedily.
You're not going to like this then. Wanted to appreciate what was done. I think you tried to fix the problem. I'd like to yield to Brian because I think he has something to say. Please go ahead.
Brian.
Thank you. Brian Winterfeld, National Property Constituency. I want to really echo Thomas's point, and I want to also make it very clear that I know people at the council have had very strong opinions they put forward, but on behalf of the National Property Constituency, we know that you were definitely focused on proper implementation. That was the whole reason why those discussions were began. We know that your intentions and your heart was in the right place, and we really just want to show the support for what you did.
All right, so on that note, thank you very much, Fadi, for spending the time with us today, both as a member of the board and in your capacity as CEO. Very much appreciated.